Hello, mamas. Welcome to another episode of the Moms of the Night podcast. I need to take a deep breath today. I gotta be honest, I almost canceled the interview today because I was just having one of those motherhood mornings, and I know you know what I'm talking about. My toddler, sweet little dictator that he is, was just having power struggle after power struggle, trying to get them off to daycare, and, you know, left him screaming. This is just like the hardest part. I know anyone who has had to leave their kids in the arms of others to care for during the day, I know you know what I'm talking about. I got home feeling just very defeated, did not feel like I could do this interview justice today. But then I just had this moment where I realized that is when I need to show up for you guys most. In these moments where life and motherhood is really hard, because that is all this podcast is about. And so here I am. I hope you'll accept me and all my imperfection. But today is a really special episode, and so I did want to do it justice. And that's because it's with my sweet cousin, Abby. And when I started Moms of the Night and was thinking about people I wanted to have conversations with, she immediately popped into my mind. Something that's really special is that our family is very close, and we grew up in like the most amazing little cousin clan. My mom was one of 8 children, and so she was right in the middle, and on the younger side of the siblings, all of their children, us cousins, kind of grew up together. We did everything together. We went to daycare together. And of course, Abby was part of that. And so we had the experience of growing up together. And in this motherhood journey, it's looked a little bit different, just in the sense that we actually haven't seen each other, I think we determined, in 3.5 years. And that's not because we didn't want to. It's because she's just been all over the country and all over the world, living in different places. And so, yeah, it's been 3.5 years since we've been in each other's presence. And so to be able to sit down with her in person while she's visiting was so, so special. And you get to get a little bit of a glimpse of us catching up. It actually is going to turn into a 2-part episode just because we couldn't stop talking to each other. And so I hope you get to enjoy both episodes. And yeah, this first episode, we really dive into motherhood. She is a mama of a 1-year-old, and they've lived all over the place prior to her getting pregnant. And then she actually moved to Israel when she was 6 or 7 months pregnant and has been living there with her beautiful son and wonderful husband for the last 1.5 years. And so you can imagine some of the things that we're going to talk about. I think that'll be more in part 2. But part 1, we really dive into what motherhood looks like for her, her journey, her experience going through infertility, and what postpartum depression looked like for her. And I just really appreciate her vulnerability and being able to have these real and raw discussions about just, you know, some of the challenges of mothering when you don't have family close by, and then also figuring out motherhood in a different country. And I know some of you can probably relate. And if you can't, there are still some really great tidbits that I hope resonate with you. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I love her so much, and I know you will too. This is my conversation with Abby.
Woo-hoo. Yay. Hey, girl.
Hey.
I'm just like so excited you're in my presence right now, because you're usually so many thousands of miles away.
I know, right? And I'm so excited that I'm here too, in your baby's nursery. What the heck?
And the fact that I haven't seen you. What did we just figure out? How many years has it been?
3.5 years.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
We've had 3 babies since we've seen each other last.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That is insane.
Yeah. I feel like it was just yesterday we were like calling on the phone, and I was like talking to you about fertility and all that.
I know.
And now we are 3 babies later. life is crazy.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously I wanted to bring you on here before everything in your world really shook up.
Yeah.
And we can get to that. But I just like, I've always respected you as a person, but then to see you be a mom and like, you don't have social media. So like, I don't even get to walk through this journey with you from afar. I just was so excited to like sit down and just chat mamahood because we don't get the opportunity very often.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And I'm also really excited that you're starting this podcast.
Thank
Seriously,
you.
Like it's so important and I'm really thankful that you've taken like the leap and done something like this because so many moms need it. So
it's scary, but I think, I mean, we were just chatting before this and I just feel like it's so needed.
Yeah.
It's so needed.
Yeah.
And I was telling Abby before this too, that I almost did not want to show up today because I was just, motherhood was really hitting me hard this morning with my toddler. And I was just like, nope, I'm not feeling it. But that is in the moments where we need to show up. Like that's where moms need to hear, like, we are in the thick of it
together. And that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. I think we both had a pretty rough morning with both of our babies.
We did. And that's just real life.
Yeah.
Like that's – I don't have a pretty tied up bow in this podcast. I usually even have like more of an outline and I'm like, we're just going with it.
I love it.
Seeing where it leads. But start with just so people can kind of get a framework of you and your background. Like I'd love to hear – they would love to hear kind of your journey to motherhood and then like what motherhood looks like for you right now.
So. Yeah, totally. Well, I'm really excited. I love talking about motherhood even though it's like the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But it's just never where I expected I would be. I don't know if you remember when I was younger, like teenage years. But
I remember.
I never want to get married. I never want to be a mom. And yeah, it kind of stuck with that almost like my whole even adult life. I was never – once I was in my like 20s, I became a Christian and I feel like I had changed more of my view and like, okay, I do think kids are a blessing, but I still wasn't like super on board of wanting my own. And then I got married to my husband in 2020 and – I can remember the exact moment. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but we were driving. It was like 2 days after we had gotten married. And I was driving. I can like remember exactly where I was. And I remember all of a sudden I had this overwhelming, I might cry talking about it, desire to be a mom. It was like all of a sudden I remember in the moment I thought, I want kids really bad and I really want to be a mom. Like out of nowhere, it was like how I thought. And I remember from that moment on, I had just – the deepest desire like I've ever experienced in my life to be a mom. It was the craziest thing. And I think when we first got married, we thought we'd wait a little bit of time to have kids because we were already planning when we got married to move overseas.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But we had had plans before we were married to move overseas. And so we thought when we got married, we'd maybe wait a little bit till we had kind of figured out what that would look like. But God had different plans.
Doesn't he always?
Yeah. And so it was very shortly after we got married that I had that moment of just realizing, I think I really want to be a mom and I really want to have kids of my own. And so we decided to start trying to have kids. And I assumed maybe out of ignorance that it would just be the easiest thing. Like I was like, okay, we'll get pregnant right away. We'll be able to have the baby here in the States and then we can move overseas with the baby. And that was my hope. I really wanted to have the baby close to home, close to my family, especially my mom.
Yeah.
And then it was really hard for us to get pregnant. Like my body just freaked out like as soon as we decided we wanted to have kids.
Yeah.
And for a year, we really struggled to get pregnant. And we had actually moved states during this time as well in preparation to move overseas. And –
is that when you moved to Texas?
It was – we were in Texas and then we moved to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. I forget which order that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been everywhere.
I know. So we got married in Texas. We lived in Texas our first year of marriage. And then we moved back to Hawaii, which is where we met. I know I have kind of a crazy journey.
Yep.
But when we went back to Hawaii, it had been exactly a year of trying. And so that's when I decided to go to a doctor. And I – yeah, I went to the doctor and I just was like, let's just maybe do some tests, figure out what's going on. And she was like, okay. So she had scheduled me for some blood work. And that week, like 2 days after that, I had gotten like my first normal period I'd had in a year.
Wow.
And then I went and got my blood work done. And then it took a little bit of time to get the results back. And it was
another cycle and period later, and it was totally normal. The first normal cycle and period I'd had in a year. And then my doctor called me and was like, are your cycles still irregular? And I was like, no, they've actually totally like become normal overnight. Like it was like in an instant, they went from insanely long and crazy and super inconsistent to like exactly 30 days, exactly 7 days.
Were you doing
period.
Anything different?
No.
Oh my goodness.
Like it was wild. And the doctor was like, this makes sense because your tests have come back perfect. Like she was like, they are like perfect. Your body is like ready to have a baby, like out of nowhere.
Did that frustrate you or did it give you hope? Because I feel like after a year, you're almost like, seriously? Like now, because you've been waiting for so long, but at the same time, you're like, okay, like,
yeah,
we're on track.
I think I was just excited. I think like infertility, everyone's journey with infertility looks so different.
Yeah.
For me, it was really hard in the beginning. I think like so many people, you like think it's going to be the month and you take a test and then you're disappointed. And I went through that whole process. And for me, it was so emotionally draining going through that every month. And I had finally come to a place, I don't know, like maybe 3 months before where I just not only surrendered like the timeline of it, but just really surrendered everything of like, I have this really big desire to be a mom and have kids of my own. Like I would love to actually be pregnant and give birth. But if that's never my story, like I'm okay with that. It's going to be hard. It'd be really difficult. But I had laid down kind of everything, like not just the timing of getting pregnant. I had laid down like if I never get pregnant, I'm like, I'm going to be okay. Like, God, you're so good and your plan is good. And so I think the fact that my body was even from the test seemed like it was able to get pregnant, I was like, oh, I had kind of like not given up hope, but just kind of been okay. Found acceptance because I just had no idea. And I had gone to some doctors in Texas and they had some pretty not great responses to it and just saying like, yeah, it was really abnormal what was happening in my body and all this kind of stuff. So,
and even only after a year.
Yeah, it was because they were like, I don't know what's TMI on your podcast.
There's nothing TMI here.
So I would like have 25-day-long periods.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Or 20 days, I think was – sorry, not 25. 20 days was the longest. So I don't know if it was like two periods back to back or even longer, but it was like for 20 days straight I had a period. And then I would go like 2 months without having a period. Like it was so incredibly irregular.
Yeah.
There's a lot to that. I did go off – I was on birth control. I went off birth control. So I don't know how much it factored in. But yeah, basically it was like went from 20 days of a period to all of a sudden the most normal cycle period. Yeah. So she told me my stuff was normal. And I think at that point I was just like – okay, maybe this is a possibility for my story.
Yeah.
And then 2 months later, I got pregnant with Roman. Yeah. Yeah. It was so like wild. And what's so crazy is I was in Hawaii when I found out I was pregnant. I was away from family. And about a month later, we got the go-ahead to move to the Middle East. And so within like I got pregnant and then I moved like 6.5 months pregnant. And so it was like –
I remember that.
The timeline of everything was like so not what I had ever thought or planned or expected, but it was like so clearly
how
it was supposed to be. Yeah.
Because
we had fought and tried and, you know, done everything we could do naturally to make it work in that year, but obviously my body was doing something. And then, within like 1 month, it just radically changed. And then 4 months later, I got pregnant with Roman, my son, which is just like, so crazy. And then obviously at the same time, all this stuff is moving forward with us moving overseas. And so it was like so much.
Just so stressful. Like
change.
A first pregnancy, a pregnancy after infertility. And then you're moving not even just across the country, across the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were planning to move to Israel and it's kind of a process to get there. It's really hard to get a visa, like a long-term visa. And so basically, all of these things aligned, and really, it was miracle after miracle that we even got a visa. And so, it went like really quickly, I feel like, from like not knowing if I could get pregnant, not knowing if we were going to move even overseas, to being pregnant and then being, okay, yep, now we're moving.
And how does that feel when like you have this dream of moving overseas and it's happening. Yeah. And you have this dream of being a mom and it's happening. You didn't anticipate them happening at the first time. Did you have that like at the same time? See, I told you I'm off today. but like, did you have this moment of like pull, like, oh, I feel guilty of moving because I'm trying to start this family. I want to be my family. But at the same time, I really want this dream. Like,
I feel like I went through that process actually before I got pregnant, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, like I really wrestled for – because I knew we were going to move overseas and I also knew we were trying. Like those things were happening. The trying of everything was happening all at the same time. And I feel like I'm someone who processes things before maybe they happen. Mm-hmm. Like I'm really thinking through those things. And so, yeah, it was really hard for me. I mean, I cried so many times about it because it was like I knew both of these things I wanted and I knew they seemed like – if they were going to happen, they were going to happen either before we moved or once we moved, hopefully we would get pregnant if we were going to. And so, it was really like I felt very torn and I felt really, guilty at times. I have an amazing family that like supports me so much and like never made me feel like I couldn't pursue both things.
Yeah.
But it still internally was like, these are things that I want, but they seem to contradict what I really – like what I feel like I need maybe. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I need to be by my family, but that's not what it's going to look like. And so I went through quite a big process, I feel like, for months leading up to getting pregnant where I was like really wrestling through it and having really honest conversations with my husband. Like I know this is what we're supposed to be doing and I really want to move and I feel like we're really called to go there, but I also feel like it's like breaking my heart a little bit because we also want to have kids and I don't want to do it away from family. So it was kind of this whole process we went through for like months. And then it was crazy because as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I had so much peace. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, but all of a sudden I was like, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be okay. And the night I found out I was pregnant, that night we were planning to watch this movie called – Free Burma Rangers. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but that's this family. The guy was in the military. Him and his family moved to Burma and basically like did with his whole family, him and his wife and his kids. And it's a documentary basically about them like helping the Burmese people help fight against this genocide that was happening. I believe that's the correct history of what was happening there. You should look it up yourself. But basically they went and they helped these people fight. And so they're raising their kids in like a war-torn area, helping these people basically fight for their freedom. And then they also did the same thing. And I believe it was Iraq or Iran or something like that. They were helping like save innocent civilians that were being like put in harm's way by the terrorists there. And it was with their kids. Like they were bringing their kids on these journeys. And you hear these kids talk about the parent or they're interviewing the kids and they're like, if you could grow up anywhere, like where would you want to grow up? Or if you could move anywhere when you grow up, and they'd be like, I want to like live in Burma. Like that's like where they want to live. So I say that to say that when I found out I was pregnant, our plan was already to watch that movie. So I found out I'm pregnant. And then we watched this movie about this family who like does all these crazy things with their kids. And I think for me,
And what a strange storyline given your current circumstances.
Yeah. And so it was kind of like, I feel like watching that and just being like, okay, it's going to be okay. Like everything's going to work out and it's going to be okay. Yeah. And this is purposeful. And so I don't know if that makes sense, but basically I feel like it went from a whole process leading up to it. Then once I found out I was pregnant, I just had like so much peace and was like, this is like how it's supposed to work. And I trust that it's going to be good.
When you're in those circumstances too, it's like if your heart is really calling you to a certain place, like it's okay to be nervous about that. Mm-hmm. And it might look different than what you had imagined it to be, but if you wouldn't have done it, how often would you ask yourself, what if? If we would have gone? Okay, so going to Israel, explain to everybody too, like your guys' reasoning for going there and kind of what you're doing.
Yeah. So my husband and I have been involved with ministry like for a long time. I've been involved in ministry since I was like 19 or 20. And then my husband, when he was 26, and that's where we met and all that kind of stuff. We've been in full-time ministry. And so we went to Israel in 2019 for just like a 2-month trip to go help serve at local congregations and ministries there. We did like soup kitchen work and all that kind of stuff. We worked with moms who are in crisis pregnancies and just some amazing work. And it was there that we really felt a heart like for this country and for this nation. And we were working with a local congregation, is what they call like a church, a local Christian congregation. And they were just saying like how there's so much need here in Israel, but there's so few people like to do the work. And so it was in that time when they were sharing this that we both, like, we weren't even engaged at the time, but we both really felt a call, my husband and I, to Israel and to go help serve. And specifically with that call to just go help serve the Christian believers in the country. There's such a small percentage. I think it's like less than 2% or less than 1% or something. And so in 2019, before we were engaged, we both felt that way. And then we actually got engaged in Israel. And then we spent the next, you know, 2 years basically preparing to go. And so what we ended up doing is working exactly like what we had a heart for, working for a local congregation in Tel Aviv. And so that was our heart and our call there. And it was 2 years in the making to do it. And I think, like you said, it's like doing it sometimes looks very different than what you expect. And I think that's been our story. Like, it's been a wild journey, and it's this season has looked radically different than we could ever expect in good and bad ways. But like, I would never change it. And I think I would have spent a lot of time like really wondering why we hadn't, if we had not gone. So
totally. Well, and okay. So you were what, 6 months pregnant?
Yes. Or like almost 7 months pregnant.
You're moving to another country. I won't lie. When you told me about this, I was like, okay. And I know people have expressed their concerns to you. I'm a very open-minded person. I like to understand people's stories and their experiences and know that they differ from mine. And like, I know where your guys' heart was. And so I was like really understanding with that. But also, since I had just gone through a pregnancy myself, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, it's not just the going through pregnancy and the birth delivery, the motherhood of it, but like you're put into this completely different world, completely different culture. I want you to walk people through like your birth journey, because when you told me, oh, like we just have to cross the border into Palestine and give birth, and you were so chill about it. And in my mind, I'm like, I must not be understanding correctly. Like, can you just play that back for me? Tell me about
it. Totally. Well, first I want to back up and say, like, when I was pregnant and I would tell people I'm moving to Israel, like, anyone who was a mom and had kids was like, are you crazy? Like, even the most crazy faith-filled people I know were like, are you sure? And at the time, I think I was just so ignorant of what motherhood entailed, and not just motherhood, but like birth and postpartum and all of that. And I'm kind of thankful for that ignorance, because I was just so like blissfully naive. Like people would be like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, totally. Why wouldn't I? Like, this is going to be awesome.
That is good sometimes, like to have that veil.
Because I think if I would have known what it would have looked like, I think I would have been way more apprehensive to go. I was just like in my own world, and like, I was just like, of course we're going to do that. So yeah, I think I went into it like kind of in this state of like, I wasn't unaware of what living in Israel was like. Well, what being in Israel is like, because I'd been there before, and we had traveled to a lot of like pretty wild places before this. And so I wasn't totally naive to it. And what has become normal for us, I understand, is like totally not normal for a lot of people. And so even when I explain like, our birth story, I have to remember that for people, it sounds like so, so unsafe and crazy. But for me, it's become kind of my life. But so we moved to Israel when I was pregnant, and I still was very like blissfully kind of like, yep, it's totally fine. This is like what normal people do, right? And then it wasn't until I think we actually got there that I realized, okay, this can be very different living somewhere than like just visiting a different country. So I don't know if you want me to go right into the birth or just a little bit leading up to it.
Yeah, lead up to it.
Okay. So leading up to it, I was pregnant, and thankfully the hospital I decided to give birth at, which was in like the West Bank, is what is considered, it's East Jerusalem. So it's like right on the border of the West Bank in Israel. I really wanted to give birth there. So it was originally started by nuns from Italy.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's a predominantly Arab hospital, but there's like people from all different backgrounds who give birth there.
Okay.
But I really wanted to go there because I did really want to have an unmedicated birth, was kind of my heart.
Yeah.
And it is not as easy to do in Israel. They're like, not in a bad way, but very traditional in their medicine, and they really like birth to go a certain way. And okay. So outside of that, like epidural and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of difficult to – you have to really advocate for yourself to be able
to do
that.
Which is so interesting because I feel like people talk about the United States that way, which is very accurate in a lot of people's circumstances, but they just assume that other places are better, which I know statistically there are, you know, things like that. But it's really interesting to hear in a place like Israel that
they're
similar on that aspect.
It was very similar. And even the hospital I went to was amazing. And like, they really do advocate for natural birth, but what they're used to, I think most people, women who come in there do like more traditional medicated birth, which is, I think that's like what would be the term that you use.
Yeah.
And so I think while they advocate for it, it's not what they're used to. So even for me to come in and like be very opinionated of how I wanted my birth was like very new for them. But yeah, so they have like, you can do water birth there. They don't turn you away if you go and you're like early, you're really early. They won't make you go back home. Like, there was so many reasons I wanted to go. So anyways, we went to do a tour and they were so amazing that they're willing to do all my prenatal care leading up to it as well, because I didn't have a doctor there. So even that is just so different. Like, going there, it's just like you wait for hours to – you go. There's no appointment. You just
remind
go.
Me, they have universal health care there, right?
I believe so, mostly. Similar to that. And then this one was more like we were able to pay out of pocket here because we didn't have international insurance for my pregnancy because I was pregnant when we had found out we were going to move. So even like going to there, we had a drive from Tel Aviv all the way to Jerusalem, which is like an hour drive. We would go, we didn't have an appointment, so you go and you just show up and then you wait however long it takes to do the like appointment. They were super sweet and amazing, and that you basically meet like different midwives and all the doctors you meet throughout your time. But they were like really awesome, but it's just totally different culture. I mean, I'm like there, newly pregnant. No one really – people spoke English, but it's very broken English, so like trying to communicate about stuff like that. And so I feel like it was – it just was so quick, like diving into something so different that I feel like at the time I couldn't really process like how crazy it was. Like, I just remember so many times we'd be there and I'd be like, I can't believe this is our life. Like, what are we doing? So anyway, so we spent like basically 3 months like in Israel finding a place to live, settling into that place. Like, I just feel like those first 3 months that we were there when I was pregnant, I really had no time to process anything because we were like just trying to get into a place and get adjusted. And then obviously I was going to appointments. Yeah. So I just feel like there was so much happening at one time and it was so many different cultures and things like what I was used to with appointments for doctors is so different than what I was experiencing.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily bad. It's just different. And so it wasn't like that crazy. I don't think it didn't feel that crazy because I think it was just so much.
You're
that
just,
it
just like was going like, through the emotions.
You're just doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely had moments where I had meltdowns and was like, what are we doing? Like, this is the craziest thing. I was very hormonal, obviously. But it wasn't, I don't think, until birth and then postpartum that I really was like, okay, this is really difficult. Mm-hmm. Like, I get now why people are like, are you sure you want to move right before you're about to have a baby?
Yeah.
Especially in like, I loved my birth. I had a great experience, but it's still like really different having to like break down cultural barriers and language barriers while you're in birth.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Really the like traveling an hour to Jerusalem was like the least of the challenges. We didn't have to, there's no like border crossing or anything. So you just drive there. So I think for me, I forget like to tell people like we're driving to the West Bank for my birth. People are like, what? But in this area of it, you don't like have to go to a crossing.
You guys don't
or
have a car, so how did you?
So we had friends who let us borrow their car for like the month of my pregnancy, or like right around my due date.
Nice.
It was like this teeny Suzuki, like so tiny, and I was huge. Like, I basically like came up to the like dashboard, and that was like the worst part, I think, of the labor was having to be in a car for
an hour. Oh my gosh, I cannot imagine.
Yeah. I'm so – we went really early on.
Like, yeah.
I went into labor at like 1 a.m. and then we were driving to the hospital at like 3. I was only like 2 centimeters dilated when I got there, but I would never have changed it for anything because
– I know you said that they let you early, but – were you nervous that you were potentially in false labor and you just drove an hour, or were you pretty confident?
No, I was like that was it? Yeah. So I had had like Braxton Hicks for like months before I gave birth.
Same.
And so I had known kind of what like that felt like. This was like, I couldn't
the
even.
The real deal.
Yeah. I mean, if it hadn't been, I don't know what that would have been. Cause it was like, I couldn't lay down. Like okay, I just remember as soon as I would have a contraction, I like shot up out of bed, and they were pretty consistent. Like, mine were like 3 to 4 minutes apart from like the get-go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then they slowed down once we drove, but then they like they were pretty consistently quick. And so I just remember like I had only been in labor for an hour. I was at home. And I remember I got into the shower because I was like, I'll just take a shower before we go to the hospital. And I remember my phone kept saying, I was like tracking the contractions, which I probably wouldn't even do next time. But I was tracking. It was like, go to the hospital. Go to the hospital. I was like, no
way. I need to shower.
Yeah. So I got up and I was like, okay, babe, never mind. Let's just go to the hospital. But it was probably just that my contractions were really close together really early.
Yeah.
I now know like I could have given it more time.
A little more time.
Anyways, so.
But you don't know.
Like, yeah, you have no
first
idea.
Even subsequent babies, I feel like sometimes it's – you just don't know.
Yeah.
Like you can be in tune with your body and still just be like.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's up to God's hands right now. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't know.
Because I do feel like the whole like month before – I went into labor. I feel like I constantly was like, is tonight the night?
Yo.
What is that feeling? What is like
the anticipatory stress is crazy.
And then when it happened, I was like, okay, this is it. But anyway, so yeah, I don't know if this is answering your question. You can ask me more questions if you feel like I'm going off topic. But I feel like, yeah, it wasn't until being in labor and then being at the hospital, I had a great experience, but there was a lot of like language miscommunications, and even just culturally, they're very different. And my husband is like Mr. Doula. They always say like, your husband can't be your doula, but I don't know. He was amazing. And so I think they weren't used to that either necessarily, that he was like really advocating for me. And they would be like, okay, we want to do this. And he's like, no, we're not going to do that. And they were like, what the heck? So I just think it was like a really sweet experience. But also I'm like, that's the craziest birth story like to me, because it's like, yeah, I'm just in this foreign country.
Yeah.
Like having to like try to communicate with my people.
And
my
had
midwives.
You ever met? So how do they structure it there? Because like depending on – in the United States, depending on where you go for your clinic, you don't always meet the person that ends up delivering your baby. Was that similar?
Kind of, yeah. So I had met a few of the midwives, but the midwife I ended up having was not a midwife I had met before.
Okay.
She was really, really sweet. I think we were just a bit like – very straightforward.
Yeah.
For that culture, it's not as normal, especially like for a woman to be so like
opinionated
and vocal about, which I normally am not necessarily in a lot of the situations, but when I'm in birth, I'm like, advocating
of course.
For myself. So yeah, so I never met the midwife. And then the doctor that ended up coming in when Roman was like being delivered, I had had him, he was like one of my doctors. So basically before you give birth, you do all your like last prenatal appointments there, and the goal is that you'd meet with every doctor in the weeks leading up, so you'd at least know the doctor who did it, which I will say, like, just a side note, because maybe people just have no idea, or like maybe they're curious, I don't know, going to a new culture, but I thought I'd be really uncomfortable. I'd always had women doctors, and then being in a different culture with a male doctor, they were amazing. Like, seriously, they were like so sweet and made me feel so comfortable, and like, I was really thankful for that experience, because I know people have all different feelings about that and emotions, but
not even being in a different culture. I mean, I admit the doctor that had delivered Owen before, and he was in our first appointment together. Like, he was fine, whatever.
Yeah.
And then my doctor ended up having to leave because they were, you know, switching, and he came in and I was like, oh no, like, I didn't really want a guy, whatever. He was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even describe. He was the perfect person for that birth. And it just – but then to be put in another culture in that situation, like, I feel like, I would have
– Yeah. I was just kind of nervous, I think. Yeah. But they were amazing. And I kind of actually appreciated having a male doctor.
Yeah.
I think because they're like can handle the straightforwardness, I think, really yeah. well. And that's like how me and my husband
were. And they were okay with that.
Yeah,
I feel
totally.
Like culturally sometimes you don't know yeah. either how that's going to
yeah.
go down.
Well, Marco did a lot of, I feel like, the advocating for me, which I think helped too, because yeah. like culturally it's a bit more normal to have like man to man. But yeah, so anyways, it was just like such a good experience, but it was totally a culturally different experience. Mm-hmm. And then also like postpartum care at the hospital, they were amazing. But like all my food was mostly Arab food because that was like where we were. And okay. I loved it. It was like the best food I had honestly had. Like America needs to step up the game with their hospital yeah. food because oh, this was amazing.
Gosh, yeah.
But it's still just so different, right? Yeah. So you're going through like such an intense experience with birth. And then you're like afterwards and you normally see all these people, you know, on social media or whatever, they're eating like a hamburger or Chipotle or, you know, their favorite comfort food. Yeah. And like that was not my experience at
not
all.
What you're having.
But I didn't mind. But anyway, so yeah, I feel like the birth experience was obviously very like culturally different. And then I think postpartum was where I felt it the most, like being away from family,
yeah.
being in a new culture, like being a new mom is obviously a radically different experience than anything you've ever gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's new for you. Life is totally new for your baby. But what was so crazy, I think, being in a different country is a lot of the new experiences for Roman were also new experiences for me.
Mm, that's a really good
You know?
Point.
And so, like, I hadn't really gone – I mean, I maybe I'd taken buses every once in a while before he was born. But, like, him taking a bus had become so normal for him. Whereas for me, even after he was, like, 4 months old, it was still uncomfortable for me to take a bus. I'd
yeah.
never done it my whole life. And so it was, like, a lot of things that were new for him were new for me. And so it was just really, I think, overwhelming to – be in this new season as a mom and then trying to navigate that in a place where I was really out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
It was just like all around a very uncomfortable season. Again, I wouldn't change it for the world now being on the other side of it and like
yeah.
the fruit that's come from that. But yeah, I think that's what I would like say for anyone who's having kids away from family or even being in a new place, even if it's a new state, it's
yeah.
just all new. And so I think you have to give yourself a lot of grace and like realizing you don't have any of your comforts around you. You don't have any of – you don't have anything normal. And so it just takes a bit of time to like really not just adjust to motherhood but adjust to this like new normal. And you're kind of doing it with your baby. Like it's like you and your baby and your husband doing it together.
I just
– yeah.
I don't know. I just think about myself in those – I mean I'm only – 5 months postpartum now. And
yeah.
it's like any sense of familiarity and normalcy is what I cling to because
yeah.
everything else, especially when it's in your own body and you feel like so like a shell of yourself
yeah.
and everything feels so foreign in general, but then to be in an environment that's different
yeah.
and no support, at least in the sense of like the people that know you the best
mm-hmm.
and like would know how to care for you.
Yeah.
I just like can't imagine, yeah, being in
yeah.
that where you're just like everything is new.
Yeah.
Everything is different. You have like
yeah.
no solace in any sort of normalcy.
Yeah. And don't you feel like – I don't know if you went through this with the first or even the second, but I felt like I had done a lot of like preparation through pregnancy and then also
mm-hmm.
for birth. But I – and I prepared for like postpartum for baby,
yeah.
like for Roman. I like kind of had an idea of like what he needed and stuff. I felt so incredibly unprepared for what postpartum would be like as the woman, like as the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like really kind of like what you said, I felt really like foreign in my own body. Like
mm-hmm.
I was like, what is happening? I didn't even know my body could do half these things or even feel this way. Like I just remember feeling like, why did no one tell me that this is what it's like? Because it was, at least for me, radically different than what I expected.
I don't think – yeah, I mean, I'm so type A that I had prepared everything.
Okay.
Like so many courses on everything, bringing home baby, and like
yeah.
everything was all set and tied with a pretty little bow. And I did not take any time to realize what that meant for me.
Yeah.
And granted, I had started therapy like years prior. So my therapist really did try to like say, you know, this is normal, this is not, this is normal,
that's
this
awesome.
Is not. So I like kind of had somebody in my corner watching over me. But when it comes to like the feeling, the emotions, the mental part of it, I
yeah.
think really threw me for
yeah.
a loop. Even now, I think I'm having a harder time with it the second time around because I have a toddler to take care
yeah.
of too, and like jobs and all of that.
that like you just don't prepare yourself for like how mumbled and like whatever your mental state is.
Yeah.
And then you're just trying to find yourself and like figure out who you are in the midst of all of this.
Yeah.
And yeah, nobody talks about that.
No.
Nobody talks about like even just the physical part. Alex always said too, he was really thrown in that postpartum period because we had prepared so much and he just assumed like, oh, you have the baby and then you're fine.
Yeah.
And when I was like basically bedridden for two weeks because every time I would stand up, my bladder would release.
Yeah.
Like he was like, what is this? And I'm like, yeah, you're telling me. I don't know. Like, what's happening?
I feel like that's the funny part about especially the first one. Like, I feel like me and Marco were just constantly like, what is this? Like, we were just figuring it out together. And especially like having – I mean, I don't know. Maybe because you were closer to family, maybe you have the other side of it. But for me, having no – even really friends around or family, like, it just felt like it was just me and Marco and Roman just like – really having to figure this out together. I mean, you can do phone calls, but even in that season, it's so vulnerable that I feel like unless someone's face to face with you, it's really hard to be real. At least it was for me to be real over the phone or over text. Like it's a lot easier to just be like, I love my baby.
Mm-hmm. Well, and happy. I mean, you know my story and I've explained it in previous episodes, but like for me, especially in the postpartum period with Owen, it was like, we were around family a lot because my mom was passing, but everyone was so focused on that they had forgot that like I just had a baby, and so any of my needs kind of went out the window.
Yeah.
And so while I felt like I had family here, I really didn't feel like I had any support.
Yeah.
Like none. And I'm sure there are people who can relate to that where like you technically have the proximity, but you don't actually have the support you need. And because of everything and everyone was grieving along with me, like the people I loved and that could have cared for me were going through a lot themselves. It felt like an added burden to then be like, I need help.
Yeah.
Or like, I have no idea what's happening or to place my emotions on them when they're already going through so much. So, and I feel like people probably feel that regardless of that circumstance. Totally. I mean, I know you were kind of saying that too.
Yeah, it can feel hard to like, I feel like be really, like to be really honest.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like if that's, like you just felt like if I talk about this, I'm going to feel like, and it could be anything. I could feel like a burden. For me, it was like, I feel like people are going to think I'm a horrible mom.
Yeah.
If I'm honest about how hard this is. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like the physical aspect was really like, really hard for me for sure. But then the emotional and mental was like, I was really unprepared. I feel like for it, I went into it, I feel like kind of ignorant to a lot about postpartum depression or even, I don't know if I really went through depression or baby blues, whatever, but all I know is it was really bad and really hard for about 8 weeks. And I feel like I'd heard about it, but I kind of just had brushed it off or been like, I don't know. I feel like because I dealt with depression a lot when I was like a teenager, and then I kind of – I don't think mine when I was a teenager was necessarily an imbalance. I think it was just circumstances in my life that were affecting me emotionally.
Yeah.
And so when I left those circumstances, I'd done a lot of work, and I feel like I was at a place where I was really healthy like mentally and stuff. And so I just thought, okay, maybe it's just circumstances that are hard and like you just have to toughen up. I know it's so bad, but that's kind of what I thought. And then I went through it and I was like, oh, I have like no – I feel like I have no control over this. Like my emotions feel like they are ruling me, and that's not necessarily how I function outside of postpartum. Mm-hmm. Like I really do feel like I try to remind myself that my emotions aren't always reality and like I don't have to have my emotions make every decision for me. Like, yeah, I feel like trying to have self-control over emotions is something I really tried to walk out because I didn't for so much of my life. And then all of a sudden postpartum, and I felt like, oh – my gosh, like I feel like so depressed, so sad, so hopeless, but it just felt like there was nothing I could do to alleviate it.
Yeah.
And that's like a really hard place to be when you like have this brand new baby and everyone's like, aren't you so in love? And you're like, I can't even think about, like I'm taking care of my baby because I really know I have to. Like they need their diaper changed. They need to be fed. Like I'm doing it because I have to do it. And I obviously want to care for my baby, but it's not like I'm doing it because I'm so over thrilled with like all this like love and emotions. Yeah. Like maybe the first few days I was, but yeah. Once we got home and like the hormones and stuff started kicking in and all that, I was like, I feel like just surviving and just mm-hmm. like, I couldn't even think about things because I just felt so sad, yeah. You know? So
it's almost like life is happening and you're just watching it.
Yeah.
And
that's you're just totally
like
it.
There in this like blank stare yeah. space.
Yeah.
Not understanding like yeah. how people are living normally when your world was just rocked.
Yeah. And it's weird because I don't know if you felt this way, but I really felt like this is how I'm going to feel forever. Like I remember yeah. being like, I don't know if it's because I just had never really been around newborns, but I thought how Roman was when he was a brand new baby is how he was going to be for like 2 years. Like I yeah. really thought I'm never going to shower again. I'm never going to be able to drink coffee again. I'm never going to have an hour of quiet again. Like he was yeah. not a napper. He was not really a sleeper. So I was like really felt like full on with him. And I just remember like not realizing like this is a season.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like this forever. But it just felt really like daunting, I feel like, at the time. And then obviously, yeah, not having anyone around physically to like, I feel like look me in the face and be like, how are you really doing? Yeah. Was really hard. I mean, my husband was amazing. Marco was like such a blessing to me in that season. He was so patient and kind and understanding. But like there's only so much he could do.
Yeah.
You know?
But I feel like even, you know, it's a blessing to have partners and husbands that are there and like you can have open communication yep. and are so supportive. But there's just also something about talking to another mom
yep.
who has been there that can like see it in you and be like, yes, I've yeah. been where you were at.
Yeah.
And, you know, just going through that together and having that kind of solidarity and understanding yeah. that just will never be understood
yeah.
from a husband's perspective.
Totally, totally. And I think I shared this with you before we started, but I totally had that like – it was probably about 4 weeks after Roman was born and I was really, like really, really struggling. And Marco was – baby, you really have to reach out to someone. And I remember I'd reached out to like a counselor in Israel and it did not go well. Israelis are very straightforward. And I was telling her like, I was like, yeah, I moved, you know, to Israel right before I had my baby. She's like, oh, away from family. That is not good. Like, oh. And I was like, no, duh. Like, that's why I'm such a mess right now.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. And so I was like, yep, not doing that again. And I remember like people would reach out to me and be like, hey, how are you doing? And I feel like I could never be fully honest, but I would kind of throw out like hints here and there, you yeah. know, like things are kind of hard. And a friend that we had met in Hawaii before we had moved to Israel, we had not known her very long, but she was a mom of three. And she was kind of that woman that I had like really looked up to as a mom and as a wife. And her husband have a really amazing story. And they're those kind of people that are like really real. Like mm-hmm. they're like have kind of a crazy past and like not a super ribbon tied story yeah. even of their marriage, but they are like so amazing and such a strong marriage now, and they have the most amazing kids, and like they're just those people that I'm like I hope to be like that as yeah. I grow into motherhood. And I remember her reaching out to me and being like, how are you really doing? And I kind of just like was like, I'm okay, this is kind of hard, but it's okay, you know. And she, I feel like, caught on to that really quick. And she basically shared with me that she had dealt with postpartum depression with her children. And I think that made me like let my guard come down because mm-hmm. I was like, okay, you understand, and you're not yeah. going to think I'm the worst mom in the world if I'm honest with how I'm feeling right now. And she would message me like every single day, not just even like advice or anything, but just encouragement. Mm-hmm. And then also just stories. Like she would share stories of what it was like for her. Funny stories. Like I remember her telling me like, that she would get so mad at her husband when the baby would cry and she would wake up and he'd be like snoring. Oh, and she was like, I just wanted to punch him in the face or something. And it's like really encouraging almost to be like, okay, I'm not alone. But I loved her because she always brought it back to like the Lord and also just like, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Like this is just a season and like everything is going to work out and you're not yeah. going to feel this way forever. And I was just super thankful for that. And I really look back at the time and I don't know how I would have gotten through that without her because yeah. it was so dark and it felt so lonely emotionally, but then also physically, we had very little people around. And yeah, it was really hard. But having at least just one person to be like, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. You're not crazy. Like, it's going to be okay, was like such a light in such a dark tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like I just was like, okay, we can get through this.
I'm going to steal that, I think, for people who are going through this season of life, because what I love about what you said about her is that she just shared stories and encouragement.
Yeah.
She didn't ask you, like, how are you doing? What can I do for you? Whatever. I don't get me wrong, to like all the friends and family who have reached out and asked those questions, I think they are very well intentioned. Yeah. And when someone's going through postpartum, like, you really don't, like, you everyone's needs are so different.
Yeah.
But I think especially this postpartum period where it's been more like postpartum anxiety for me, mm-hmm. and just like the chaos of my world right now. When people ask, how are you, or what do you need, or what can I do for you? I'm like, I want you to never ask me a question again. Like,
yeah.
Don't ask me what I need, because I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like one more
thing. I don't know how to answer that.
That someone needs from me.
Yeah.
You know, totally. Like, you're asking me what I need, but you're really telling, like, I need to tell you something.
Yeah.
And that just feels so overwhelming. So I think, yeah, I think it's beautiful that just to have someone that's just like speaking life into you instead of trying to like get something out of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's the hard thing, is people obviously want to know because they care. But I do remember feeling that way. Like, I remember feeling like it felt like such a task to try to explain to someone how I was, or it felt like I just didn't respond to people a lot because, and I feel bad. Like, it's not because I didn't love them or want to have like communication with them, but I just remember it felt so burdensome to like respond because I didn't even know how I was feeling.
Yeah.
And when I did know, it probably wasn't that like light and cozy.
Oh, and like, how do you explain it?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes those emotions are just like so everywhere, or they're deep in some certain area of your life, and you're like, I feel it, but I don't know how to explain to you in a way that you would understand.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like, too, where you didn't tell people how you're feeling because you were worried how they would answer?
Yeah, I think I did feel that, especially with other moms. Mm-hmm. I felt so afraid that they would not – like that they'd be like – that they had not gone through it. Mm-hmm. But then I was afraid of what they would think of me, I guess, how they would, or even if they would kind of just be like, you know – just suck it up. Or I don't think anyone would say that, but I think I was afraid of how they would answer. Or I think my biggest fear is that they wouldn't have gone through it and that they would think a certain way of me, because I remember how I thought of people who, not specifically women with postpartum depression, but I just remember my certain thoughts about certain things with like mental health and depression and stuff like that before it, like really wrong assumptions. I think specifically with, I kind of lumped postpartum depression and depression like all in one thing. Yeah. But I do think they are different in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so I think because I had wrong like misunderstandings about it, I just was like, what if someone thinks that of me? Like, what if they just think I'm just being like, you know what I mean? Like stuck in my own head and letting my emotions rule me and whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just me being really real. Like, I was just really ignorant to what it looked like.
Yeah.
And what it really felt like, I think, is the
other thing. I feel like there's nothing worse, too, than when, like, you're really struggling with something and you finally get vulnerable with somebody and they come back with something that is super unhelpful.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Even if they're well-intentioned and it's something that's supportive, but it's just like, no, I didn't need you right now to tell me that, like, but life is so short.
Yeah.
Or they're only little for so long.
Yeah.
No, I need you to tell me, like, girl, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, let's go get a coffee. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I just need you to be like, yeah, it sucks. It's hard. I don't need you to tell me that, like, embrace every moment, sweetie.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I think especially that was hard because I remember people would say, like, or you would see on, like, I don't have really social media, but I do have, like, YouTube or stuff like that. Or I would look up, like, you know, because we would let Roman take naps. Like, we didn't do a lot of contact napping, mostly because I felt like I had, like, I was with him. Nursing was really hard. Nursing took forever. So it was, like, I felt like he was with me all the time. And his nap was, like, the one time that I was just, like,
to breathe.
Yeah. And I know that for some people that's not their experience, but for me it was. And so I remember when people being, like, you know, contact nap as much as you can, let them sleep on you, they're only little ones, or like making it almost feel like if I wasn't constantly holding my child, like that I was like a bad mom, felt really, really burdensome to me.
Yeah.
Or I think the older I shouldn't say the older generation, but a lot of people will say, like, you can't spoil a baby, yeah, like, with physical touch. Mm-hmm. And I do think that they mean that in a different way than how my generation takes it, because people, yeah, do take that as, like, basically you should never put your child down.
Yeah.
But I remember my mother-in-law saying that, like, no, you can't spoil a baby with affection. And I was like, so what do you want me to do? Like, sleep with them all the time? She's like, no, like, let them take a nap in their crib. I'm like, oh, so you aren't saying that I should hold, yeah, my baby, yeah, all the time. She's like, no, I never meant that when I would say that. She was just saying, like, don't feel bad if you want to hold your baby. Yeah. Don't feel bad if you want to, like, cuddle them and snuggle them more than what you thought you would.
Right.
And I was like, oh, but then I feel like our generation has almost taken that, like, you can't spoil a baby as, like, never let your baby
never
out of
let
your
them go.
Yeah.
Hold them always.
And I felt really burdened by that specific comment because, yeah, for me, like, I wasn't trying to spoil him or not spoil him. I just really, like, needed a second, yeah, to, like, just not be holding him. And, yeah, so I just remember, like, hearing certain comments people would say were, like, really – felt really burdensome for me. But other moms would hear those comments and be like, okay, I'm going to go hold my baby forever. Like, yeah, you know, we're unfazed by it. So, right, yeah, I think that there's just different advice that can be taken differently depending on what you're really going through in it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
When it comes to that postpartum period – and I mean, obviously you haven't experienced it in the United States yet, but when it comes to kind of comparing country culture,
yeah,
I know people say that the United States is really failing moms, and I have felt that to my core, especially, yeah, in postpartum. What do you feel like that in the Israeli culture?
Yeah, I do feel like Israel is kind of similar, at least in my experience, to US, and I guess it depends on what type of family. Like, my, mm-hmm, friends who are Israeli who have had babies, like, have very similar experiences to me. Mm-hmm. But I do know, and I believe in more – well, actually, I shouldn't say that. Yeah, I think that a lot of women are, like, back to work really quickly. Mm-hmm. A lot of men, I think, have less paternal leave in, okay, Israel. It's, like, 1 week exactly, and that's it.
Okay.
And even then, like, a lot of them are called back. I think women, it's actually maybe even less time than in the States, depending, wow, on. So I didn't find it, like – that it was that different. I thankfully actually am not, because of my visa, I don't work in Israel. Right. So I never had to go back to work or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I do have friends that are from other countries that live in Israel. Like, I have a friend from Spain, I have a friend from Singapore, and they live in a culture where, like, basically someone comes into their home for 40 days after they give birth, wow, and does everything. And so, yeah, I didn't necessarily experience anything different than I think a US, okay, person would, someone from the US. But I do know people who, like, our friend right now is pregnant and she's giving birth soon and she's from Spain, and, like, her mom, basically the plan is that her mom will come stay with her for 40 days.
Wow.
And, like, cook and clean and do all that. Her mom still works too. And then also does this. Her,
so they're allowed, like, that's just kind of the, it's leeway how the culture they is. Get. Okay.
So there are cultures where, like, the government provides it, but you also don't know what kind of care you get when, right, you get that. But, mm-hmm, there is a lot of cultures, which I do believe it used to be very common,
yeah,
in US cultures too, where basically the mom or the grandma, or is, like, kind of that maternal care, the mother-in-law would come in and, like, mm-hmm, take care of the home so that the mom could basically be with her baby and her, yeah, husband and whatever. And so I think there definitely has been a loss of that. But I do, mm-hmm, think it's hard because a lot of moms, like, my, yeah, mom works full time. So,
yeah,
it'd be, like,
right,
almost impossible for her to take off 40 days,
yeah,
to work. And
can,
so,
you imagine?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine being like, so my daughter's having a baby and I'm going to need to take a month.
Yeah. Like, they'd be like, what?
They'd be like, well, you're not going to have a job,
yeah,
when you come back.
So it is interesting though, because experiencing, this is kind of a side note, but experiencing going through postpartum without any really, like, help. I mean, we really had no one visiting to, like, help, yeah, at all. I really, like, have a heart eventually someday, maybe when the kids are older or whatever, that I would love to become a postpartum doula. I would love to be a doula.
Did you know that I did doula training?
Really?
I have all the stuff downstairs.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yeah.
I did not know this. Isn't that amazing though?
Yes.
Like, when you experience it and then you're like, I want to do that. Because,
yeah,
that's how I felt. Like, I also went through birth having to advocate for myself. And I was like, I don't ever want, mm-hmm, someone to feel that way. But then I also, going through postpartum, I was like, I love cooking. I love cleaning. I love babysitting.
You would
babysitting,
be an amazing,
like,
doula.
So I feel like going through it just really gave me a huge passion to be able to do that for, mm-hmm, other people. And I mean, who knows how it'll be in the future, but I would love to do it even as a ministry where it's, like, not something they have to pay a,
yeah,
ton of money for or anything like that.
But I would say that is, like, the hardest part. Even, I mean, we're so fortunate. I feel like we're very blessed financially. My husband and I have great jobs. And even for us, to think about a postpartum doula was like,
yeah,
we can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, we're about to have two kids in daycare. Like, yeah. There's no way.
It's expensive.
It's, and what an amazing service. Like, yeah. It, but I just wish it was more accessible to people because it is such an amazing thing to have.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's amazing. That's so cool. I did not know you were doing that. So you're like, have you gone through all of it now?
I went through the entire training prior to actually Owen.
Oh, really?
Like, it was a couple of years ago. I was really interested in it. Decided it wasn't like quite the lifestyle I want because I went through the birth doula program. And just with the unpredictability of schedule and stuff with kids, I wasn't sure if this was the right time. But I love the idea of the postpartum, like just being able to love on mamas. I mean, I started a podcast to love on mamas, so like you understand that passion of mine.
Yeah.
But I think you would be an amazing doula.
Thank you. I would love to. Like, I'm really hoping it works out someday to do it. I'm not like in a rush. I feel like I'm in a really sweet season of like, I love that I get to be home with Roman and I love, being at home with him. So I'm not trying to rush out of that, but eventually I would love to pursue that someday. Yeah. I think it'd be really fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to actually break this into a two-parter.
I just realized, I'm like, have we just talked for so long?
No, I love it because we really needed to talk about this, but I also really, really want to touch on the current circumstances because we can talk about this in the next episode. So I'm just going to actually leave it at that. We are going to break this into a two-parter.
Okay.
And the next episode, we're going to talk more about Israel and like your current reality and how that looks in motherhood. I'm sure there are people that can relate, but also people who are just like very curious.
Yeah.
Totally. I know I have been really curious. So stay tuned for that episode. And yeah, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me here. It was such a blessing. I love hanging out with you.
I know. I love it. Okay.
Wow. Sorry. I talked for so long.
No.
Okay.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Okay. Cool.
We have to touch on all the things. Yeah. I always say like for this podcast, I want it to be like somewhat central on topics, but the beauty of it is that motherhood is such a spectrum and there's so much different context to it. So we just got to talk about it.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Next episode it is, guys. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Moms of the Night podcast, where we are on a mission to make motherhood, especially those middle of the night hours, feel less lonely. If you know another mama who could use these comforting words tonight, please consider sharing this episode with her. And don't forget to follow and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. If you're enjoying the episodes, a quick click on that 5-star button and leaving a review would mean the world to me. It's one of the many ways we can reach as many moms as possible who might benefit from hearing these conversations and words of encouragement. Your support means everything. I'll see you on the next episode.